Episode 280 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? So there's a lot going on. I'll tell you, as far as the recording goes, again, fans know it, tech problems. I've improved my technology, new computer, great microphone, put some sound deadening stuff in the room. But my room happens to have a couple of windows that I like to keep open. So that's the brilliance. Yeah, put up sound deadening, but keep the windows open. My backyard has become some kind of weird nature preserve. First, I was overrun by squirrels a couple of weeks ago. Just squirrel. I don't know what it was, but a bunch of squirrels were running through, and I had this one plant, and they seemed to like eating it. So I go online, and I'm like, how do you get rid of squirrels? And it turns out, save this for future info because it works, mothballs, squirrels can't stand the smell. So I go to the store, I go to Ralph's, my grocery store, and I ask the kid that, you know, where are the mothballs? And he says, I don't even know what those were. So don't ask a Gen Z kid for mothballs because they don't know what mothballs are. I did find them. I threw some in the yard and they worked. I mean, literally, the squirrels were gone the next day, that day, gone. So they came back and I was like, oh, the mothballs must have dissolved. Throw some more out, no more squirrels. Yesterday, I had two giant owls in my backyard, just on this wall. I have like this retaining wall in the backyard. They were just there looking. And someone said, you know, I took pictures of them and put them up. And someone said, where'd you get the statues? And I was like, those are not statues. Those are owls. They're actual owls. And then another one landed on a telephone pole right outside my house. And he was giving me that look. If you've ever been stared at by an owl, it is very disconcerting. They do not blink. They do not move. They stare at you. And it's just, I'm bigger than him, but he still scares me. So anyway, that's my backyard, and these windows face it, so I just like to keep them open. Fortunately, it's pretty quiet here during the day, so I don't think that'll be a problem. So let's get into the podcast. You know, I spend too much time on screens. I email news, my news feeds, you know, entertainment, what we all do it, social media. It's part of my job, but it also gets a little old. There's been some things going on in social media with comics. The Chris D'Elia story, Chris getting or soliciting nude pictures from underage girls. Horrible. You know, I know the guy. I don't know that part of him, but it's horrible, and it is... That's all I can say about it. It's a terrible thing. And, you know, when you get into underage, you know, whether that underage be, even if it is 17 or 16, it's still underage. So that's a horrible development. Another thing that came up was an old podcast from Joey Diaz. Now, Joey D's another friend of mine. I've known Joey D a long time. And Joey Diaz is a big Rogan guy. And as you know, I'm a friend of Rogan's and I do Rogan's podcasts on occasion and so on. So people were upset with Joey D. And I didn't even know if I was going to talk about this on the podcast, but I am. I am because this cancel culture, there doesn't have to be. I wish there was some common sense. And I understand the pendulum swings, right? So we've had so much abuse, I'm not even going to add another word, so much abuse of women, the Me Too movement, etc., where women were taken advantage of in all these ways, and the pendulum has swung the other way, and sometimes men who are, I don't know if innocent's the right word, where it's like, is this harassment or is this a bad date, that kind of thing, some of the guys are going to get caught up in this. You know, and comedians are, I don't know where we are, because there are some comedians who have done some sexual abuse and horrible shit, and there's other comedians who are like, hey, it was, I said something terrible, but it was a joke. And I'm okay with that. If you say something terrible and it's a joke, I'm not trying to control what you say. So what happened with Joey, and I'm sorry because I'm already spending more time on this than I wanted to. 10 years ago, he's on a podcast with Joe Rogan talking shit. Now, if you know who Joey Diaz is, Joey Diaz is a loud, blustery, I don't give a shit, I'll say anything comedian, over the top, raw, honest. It's who Joey is. And he was talking about hitting up women comics for oral sex. How's that for keeping it clean? To get stage time. Is this true? I don't know. Another guy posted it's just Joey talking shit. I don't know if it's true or not. I posted that if you don't like Joey Diaz and who he is, don't listen to him. Because this is what Joey talks about. Now, here's the thing. This was Joey 20 years ago. The podcast is 10 years old. He's talking about behavior from 20 years ago. He's not that guy today. He'll be the first person to tell you back in the 80s, he was a piece of shit guy. He was on drugs. He was doing all kind of shit. And he talks about it now. He's not that guy. That's why I'm okay with it, because he is no longer that guy. He owns the behavior. Should he joke about it? That's up to you. I don't know. He does. I'm not going to judge that. He's being who he is. Somebody said, well, that's what Trump says. Difference is, Joey's a comedian owning the behavior. Trump is the president still behaving that way. And one friend of mine, because I talked to some guys, were like, am I wrong? And this guy said something to me that I really think made sense. He said, you don't have to be scared of the ones who own it, the ones who admit it. You got to be scared of the ones who are still doing it and denying it. And that made a lot of sense. So I'm not buying into the cancel culture of comedians for what they say. Again, this is different than what they do or what they're currently doing or whatever. I see it as two different things. And there's comics that you don't like, you don't have to listen. You know, I don't like country music. I don't listen to country music. I don't judge country music. You can listen to it if you want. I don't like it, so I don't listen. So anyway, I caught a little flack over it. It's interesting coming from both sides. I got a lot of support too. And I got some people who tried to make it into something else. And I'm not even going to go into that. I spent a couple hours going back and forth on Twitter. And then I remembered there's nothing to be gained by going back and forth on Twitter. So I stepped back and let it be whatever it is. So I just wanted to mention that because it was something that came up over the weekend and it came up in my life. And, you know, so I wanted to talk about that. Okay, now enough of me, enough about me. Let's get into what's going on this week. What I'm seeing going on this week. Couple of things interesting. Okay, so as you know, or you may or may not know, there are certain people I don't debate, argue, try not to even talk to. I'm not going to debate a racist over 40. If you're over 40 and you're a racist, your mind's made up. There's nothing I'm going to say that's going to open your mind. You're not going to change your mind. Facts don't matter to you. Your mind's made up. So why would I waste any energy on that? If you're a Fox News person, we can't argue. If Fox News is your only source, we can't argue. And to seemingly back up my view, Tucker Carlson is in a libel lawsuit for some things he says, a slander lawsuit, okay? And this is Tucker Carlson's lawyer. This is his attorney. His attorney argued that Carlson has no duty to look into whether or not his statements are truthful. Quote, what we're talking about here, it's not the front page of the New York Times, end quote, from Aaron Murphy, the attorney. It's Tucker Carlson Tonight, which is a commentary show. All right, I call bullshit, okay? These guys claim to be news. And the amazing thing, the hilarious thing is, He's actually saying that Tucker Carlson is not the front page of the New York Times, a newspaper that Tucker Carlson is continually calling fake news. So basically what this guy is saying is, hey, Tucker Carlson's a liar. I mean, this isn't the Times, which would mean the Times tells the truth and is held to that standard. Unbelievable. This is why there's no sense arguing with these people. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time arguing with somebody who quotes Tucker Carlson. Remember, Tucker Carlson had a meltdown over Sesame Street. All right? So just, you gotta limit yourself. You can't, there's no reasonable, can you imagine that being your defense? Can you imagine your lawyer being like, that's like you get arrested for stealing cars, right? I get arrested for stealing cars. And my lawyer's like, well, there's no sense expecting Alonzo to not steal cars. I mean, you parked your car and he's a car thief. So, of course, he stole your car. Why would he not? It's the same this logic that they use. It's unbelievable. It's the same thing with the testing, okay? And they've shown this. This has become the Republican Party talking point, that the reason there's spikes in coronavirus in states that have opened, like Florida and Georgia and Texas, and here where I live in California, because people are going too far, right? This is, you see it, you see all these videos, you see the news, people going to the beach in large groups, people at restaurants, at bars, at clubs, acting, you know, in Arizona, the kids were partying at clubs like there was never a virus at all. We've seen the beaches in Florida and stuff. You see, people are basically doing everything that science has told us not to do. Don't congregate. Don't stand too close. Wear a mask so you don't breathe on other people. Can I say that again? Wear a mask so you don't breathe on other people. A mask does not mean we are taking away your rights as American. I think the funniest argument, this woman was yelling that they were taking away her civil law rights. I didn't even know we had civil law rights. That's amazing. They were taking them away because they wanted to wear a mask. So anyway, you have people not wearing masks, et cetera, et cetera. And the numbers are going up. Not according to Trump and the Republican Party. According to Trump and the Republican Party, we're getting more people are getting the coronavirus because there's more testing. Yeah, the testing which shows you have the virus, they're trying to make that sound like that's the cause. Again, just, you can't argue with logic like this because you would be using an intelligent argument. You might as well be yelling at I honestly should be yelling at this sound deadening foam that I put on the wall. You're saying the testing causes more virus. That's like saying, okay, listen, we're going to stop giving math tests because these kids keep failing math tests. But if we stop giving math tests, these kids will be better in math. You know what? We're going to do away with that driving test. You know, if we don't give them a driving test, they'll be better drivers, which Georgia did for a while. So maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't know. You can't argue with this kind of logic. You can't debate it. There are more people are sick. The virus is going up, not because we opened too soon, not because maybe, you know, people are not taking safety measures. Maybe they're not washing their hands as much. They're definitely not wearing a mask. The masks have become a political thing. I read a great article about the rest of the world, the international community, saying, what the hell is wrong with America and why are they making the mask political? It's health. Well, see, world, we don't deal in health and science. We deal in politics. This here's America. If you're in a red state, then the mask is designed to take away your civil law rights. And if you live in a blue state, you have to wear the mask because we have dictators. Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's where it goes. So good luck with you, with your science and your book learning. I got civil law rights, some bitch. I ain't wearing no mask nowhere. And I will fight for pride. This is another thing I love in the hypocrisy. Less government. We want less government. We want less regulation. People are free. Do what you want to do. They literally fought. They fought for a bakery to not make a cake for a gay couple, saying you are a private business. You do what you want. The government cannot regulate you. Then when a private business like, oh, I don't know, American Airlines says, hey, you have to wear a mask, I got my rights. And nobody can tell me, well, which way do you want it? Because American is a private business. And you just said private businesses. And as far as they're concerned, private businesses can discriminate based on religion, based on sexual preference or sexual identity, based on race, etc. Because they're passing these laws, they're doing this, saying that if you don't want to deal with somebody because of their religious beliefs, right, then you don't have to. You can use your religion to discriminate against people. This is the thing with the healthcare, right, with not giving medical coverage for the abortion pill. Companies like Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A fought for this, and they said they're private companies, you can't force them to do anything. Then a private company says, you can't come in because you're not wearing a mask. They're like, who are you to tell me what to do? You can't win these arguments. So just let, I was going to say let the government handle it, but I don't even know anymore. I don't know what you do. I you know where I stand. I wear a mask. Put it on, go in, take care of business, come out, take it off, go home. Didn't lose any of my civil law rights. Some bitch. I hate being right. I hate being right. I used to do a podcast, and unfortunately we can't do it because of studio times and getting together and the, you know, the shutdown, quarantine, etc. But I used to do a podcast called Fear Not with a brilliant guy named Barry Glassner, produced by Scott Stone. And we talked about what you should fear and what you shouldn't fear and so on. We made fun of Florida because it's Florida. And the producer, Scott Stone, he got on me all the time for calling America dumb. I was like, America's dumb. You've heard me say it. People are smart. The people are stupid. As the mob size increases, the collective IQ decreases. Can't explain it, but it's what happens. And Scott said, stop doing it. And then after a while, Scott was like, Alonzo, you're right. I don't like being right, but I'm right. So last week, I talked about NASCAR, and I talked about NASCAR doing away with the Confederate flag, and I said, they ain't going to go for it. Well, this past week, Bubba Wallace, the only black driver in NASCAR, somebody hung a noose in his garage. Yeah, that's not a joke. Somebody hung a noose in his garage. They had a race somewhere. They flew a plane over with a Confederate flag saying defund NASCAR. There were tons of Confederate flag cars and trucks outside the race. None of them came in because they wouldn't let them, but they were there. But here's the thing with the noose. That was somebody inside NASCAR. That was somebody with access. Now, I haven't been to a NASCAR race, but I've been to plenty of races. When you go to a car race or a motorcycle race or any kind of professional race, you have what's called the paddock, okay? And the paddock is where the garages are, where the racers are, where they, you know, they eat and they hold their meetings and whatever. It's a closed off area. And you need a pass to get into that paddock. And there's different levels of security. In MotoGP, I got a friend who works there. He gets me a pass. I can walk around in the area. I can't go into garages. I'd have to be invited to go in the garage where the actual race motorcycle is, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. I went to Formula One once. Shout out to a company called Alpine Stars. They make safety gear and clothes and stuff for racing and riding and driving. And they were nice enough to get me back a paddock pass at Formula One. Formula One paddock pass, not easy to get. They actually do some checking on you and they take your picture. It's like a passport picture on the pass. Now, once you get in, you can go around, you can walk around. Me and my brother were joking. We were taking pictures with the tires. We were like, hey, I could take a couple of these home, right? Somebody invited us into the garage. It was fantastic. It's quite an experience. My point being, you don't just walk into garages at a racetrack. You have to have some kind of access. And whoever put a noose in there, they didn't do it during the day when everybody's working and everyone's in the garage. They had access at a time when that garage was not only closed to the public, but nobody was there. The team wasn't there. Nobody. Then they haven't found who did it yet as of right now. They may find them. They're saying they're bringing the FBI in. They're talking about hate crime, et cetera, et cetera. NASCAR is pissed off because this continues their interest, their image as this good old boy racist organization. Yeah, NASCAR, this one's on you, all right? Laura Ingraham, another worthless Fox News personality, had her whole thing of telling LeBron and KD and basketball players, shut up and dribble. She was okay with Drew Brees' opinion, but she said, shut up and dribble. She said, if you're an athlete, just do your sport. Well, Laura, Bubba Wallace is doing his sport. He's a NASCAR driver who's driving. And you know what? They hung a noose in his garage. So fuck you, okay? That's the proper response to you. Yeah, we're done. Again, I hate being right. So I'm going to take it another step. I'm taking steps down because I plan to come back up. But this one, to say it was unbelievable, to say it's staggering, to say what, you know, you think there's a level of inhumanity that can't be, like you're like, well, they can't be worse. They can be worse. In Columbus, Ohio, at a protest, there was a protester, a double amputee, who they knocked down, and then the cops took his legs. I'm going to say that again. A double amputee that they knocked down, and the cops took his legs, and the protesters had to run after the cops and get this poor guy's legs back. Think about that. Let that sink in for a minute. They knocked him down and they took his legs. What human can do that? What humans? More than one. They had to be. It is unreal. This is where you get into, what kind of person are you? Where did you come from? What's your background? You know, I'm sorry, the argument about good cops versus bad cops, it's just, there have been so many incidents of police violence in these protests. And I'm not talking about violence versus violence. I'm talking about attacks on nonviolent protesters. We've seen it over and over. We've seen the tear gas outside the White House, and we've seen the old man pushed to the ground, and you're just thinking, well, it can't get worse. Yeah, well, it just got worse. It got worse in Columbus, Ohio. Now, these cops, so far, there hasn't been anything done. And again, I saw the story this morning. It may have changed by now. But so far, I mean, how do you not only arrest these cops for some torture and cruel, unusual punishment and whatever other charges they can come up with. But if you're a good cop, how do you watch somebody do that? How do you watch somebody do that? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know where the bottom lies. Someone could say, well, Alonzo, you're okay with comics making jokes. Yeah, I am. I'm okay with comics making jokes because it's that. It's comics making jokes. Distasteful sometimes? Yes. Over the line sometimes? Yeah. Wrong sometimes? Yes. But they're comics in a comedy club or a podcast or some comedy atmosphere. They're not police. Police are held to a higher standard. Police are held. Sorry about the plane. Told you the window's open. Police are held to a higher standard. And they're damn sure supposed to be better than anyone who would take the legs from a double amputee. That is mind-boggling that these are cops. That there were other cops that saw this happen and didn't stop. What the fuck is wrong with you? That's the proper response to that. What the fuck is wrong with you? Give him his legs back. Yeah, be a rat. Be whatever. Be a rat. Rat him out to the boss. Whatever it takes to get rid of a cop who would take the legs from an amputee, you need to do. That's your job. That's what we pay you for. That's what you've been entrusted to do. To put a stop to anyone who would take the legs from an amputee. honestly, just saying it, it sounds like the punchline of a joke or the act of a comedy sketch. They took the legs from the amputee, but no, it's not. It's real. Happened. They had this video. They showed a guy laying on the ground with his legs next to him. He's screaming for somebody's screaming for a medic to help the poor guy. There's a reason I wanted to do that story, because you know I don't like to end on a negative. And with all of this, there was a story I read, and you're like, Alonzo, you haven't mentioned Trump's rally. No, I haven't, because this is the good news. The rally was empty. 6,000 people. Trump said there's 1 million people that got tickets. They built an overflow stage. The place held 19,000 people. They built an overflow stage outside. I'm going to have to give a speech. Then I'm going to have to go outside and give a speech to all the people waiting to hear me talk. Yeah, and the speech was empty. But you know why it was great that it was empty? Because Generation Z. Now, I thought it would be the millennials, but it wasn't. It's Generation Z. Generation Z was born between 1996 and 2010, and I love them. Because what they did, they got on TikTok. They had the TikTok kids and the K-pop fans, and they all ordered tickets to Trump's rally. They all looked Trump today. Over 1 million people ordered tickets. And these kids all ordered tickets. They ordered tickets, and they ordered tickets. And none of them went. Trump was like, we've never had an empty, this was a quote, before the rally. We've never had an empty seat. We certainly won't in Oklahoma. Of course, that's a lie. There have been empty seats. But they said, but you know, he likes to lie. Blah, blah, blah. So these kids, they ordered their tickets. And then they told them they're not going. And not only did they tell them they're not going, the excuses they used. One said they couldn't go because their dog's goldfish's funeral was that day. There were some that would not be attending because they were mopping windows. And then, of course, there were those who were vacuuming the beach. These kids were brilliant. These kids organized. They used TikTok. They did the K-pop. The K-pop music fans. They all... The ultimate trolling. I love this. I love these kids. These kids are going to be the change. This is my hope. This is my hope. Is it a prediction? Yeah, it's a prediction. But even more so, it's a hope. Now, I said that I had hope for the millennials because I would see them interacting with each other in ways and accepting each other, and accepting each other's diversity. And it was like black, white, Asian, Latinx, gay, straight. They didn't give a shit. It was just their friends. But then I saw things like marches with the Proud Boys and the tiki torches and the incels on Reddit. And I was like, oh, damn. Still a lot of hate in that generation. But these Generation Z kids, they have been battered from birth. They've dealt with it. You know, okay, if you're born between 1996 and 2010, you have 9/11. You have wars. You have school shootings becoming routine, including things like Columbine and Sandy Hook. You have racism publicly out there at a level that from when Barack Obama was president to now, just a growing wave of public racism. You have a president who supports it, who's so far beyond dog whistle. They've put up with all of this. But the other thing they have is they have social media. And they have technology, and they're used to it. It's normal for them. And they're always a step ahead of us. Whatever we use, okay, because I'm old. I'm right in that somewhere between Gen X boomer age. I don't know. I'm old. So we figure out Facebook, they go to Twitter. We figure out Twitter, they go to Snapchat. We look at Snapchat, they go to TikTok, and who knows what else they use, but they're always a step ahead of us. They're talking in ways, communicating in ways we don't understand. They're on the next wave of technology, and they're using it to fight back. They're using it to organize. They're using it to revolt. They're using it to say, we've had enough of this shit. And I love you, Gen Z. If you have kids in that age, if you have grandkids in that age, and you're listening to me, thank them. Thank them on my behalf. What'd they say? Gen Z, I'm reading this article, reading to you, the most racially and ethnically diverse generation yet. Okay? Only a slight majority of post-millennials, that would be Gen Z, are non-Hispanic white. Only 52%. So the 48% is everything else. They have friends, families, relationships, all different socioeconomic differences, gender identity, and they get along and they figured out we're all the same. And they're getting beat up. Imagine going to school and having school shooting drills. I tell you, I have a friend. She left the United States because she didn't want her kid to grow up going to school shooting drills because she understood the insanity of it. They deal with a political hatred. They've never seen political parties work together. They've never seen political parties work together to solve a problem. They've seen political parties, you know, they've seen the head of the Senate say that his only job is to make sure that the president is a one-party president. They see what's going on now. They're not dumb. They're watching what's going on with the courts, gun violence. These kids aren't dumb. These kids have seen some of us that are worse, and they're working to make it better. And they're all over the place. They're the ones who give us AOC, kicking ass and taking names. Yeah, I love these kids. I love Gen Z. I wish them the absolute best, and I hope they don't stop. I hope we can't wear them out, and I hope we can't teach them any better. And I hope they like profit, but they continue to hate greed and not feel that a company, the leaders, the CEOs of the company have to get paid 300, 400, 800 times what the workers make. And they get tired of a Walmart where the Walton family is worth billions and the employees don't have health care and they don't want to come out of college and not have a job. And on and on and on. They are connected. They are connected. The social media revolution, they call themselves, we're the social media generation, and good for them. We can make fun of them for having influencers and stuff like that, but some of those influencers, they're not all just, you know, vapid consumers on Instagram. They put together a TikTok and shut down a hate rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thank you, Gen Z. I love you kids. Keep doing what you're doing. Let this only be a start. I was on the Young Turks on Friday on Juneteenth, and we were talking about seminal moments in American history. And they were talking about, is George Floyd a seminal moment? Is it a change? And I really think he is, because like I said, there are people who've never listened before suddenly hearing us that the police are abusing black people. But another seminal moment and another instrument of change is our phones, our iPhones, our Androids, or whatever you use, because our phones have cameras. Everyone's got a camera and everyone's watching. And it's hard to deny and it's hard to lie when we're watching. And these kids, if you have kids or grandkids in that age, if you have kids or grandkids between 10 and 25, they know more about your phone than you ever will. They can make that phone do things you had no idea it could do. And they can communicate, and they're doing it, and they're making the world a better place. So thank you, Gen Z. Thank you. And I want to wrap up with a shout out to my man, DL Hughley. I did his show last week. DL passed out on stage Friday night in Nashville, and it turns out he is positive with the coronavirus. He's put out a message that he's okay. He joked that he's asymptomatic other than passing out periodically. I love comics because we always laugh about it. So I wish you the best, DL. I hope you feel better. Get back on your feet, get back on the radio, and get back your voice. We need your voice. And thank you to Gen Z. If you're out there, stay safe. Wear a mask. If they talk about your civil law rights, you tell them, I know my civil law rights, but I also know how to be nice. And I'm going to wear a mask because I'm trying to be nice and not breathe on you. And to those wearing the mask under the chin and breathing, Karen, you're out there. When you see them wearing that mask the wrong way, would you please call the manager? I'm not allowed to call a manager, Karen. I can't confront people. I'd be an angry black guy. But you, Karen, your specialty is confronting people and calling people out for breaking the rules. So when you see these idiots wearing the mask under their chin so they can say, well, I got one on. Karen, please, call the manager. Who's paying attention? You are, and I thank you.